Thank you, Jeff. Well, if you're new tonight or if you haven't been around for a couple weeks, we started a brand new series 2 weeks ago called Love Song, and we are on part three tonight. And the first week was all about character and how important character is. And it's from a little book in the Bible called The Song of Solomon. And basically, it's a love song. It's a love story about a guy named Solomon that meets this incredible girl, and it's their story. And the very first part of this love song is all about character and how it is the number one thing that you should look for in somebody. And then the second part, last week, we talked about a date and what a date should look like. And so if you're new here tonight or if you missed the last couple weeks, I would really encourage you to go online and listen to those two messages so you can really appreciate the context of what we're going to look at tonight. Tonight, we're going to look at dating. And I am going to try and make a point tonight that dating is different than a date, okay? That dating is different than a date. A date, for instance, has no pressure, right? I mean, this is a one-time event with somebody. Dating, there's a lot more to be lost and a lot more to be gained, okay? I wrote a couple other things down about dating and dates, and here's just a couple things that I came up with. Dating is serious and a date is casual. Okay, a date is centered on an event, like going out to eat or going to a movie, but dating is centered on a person. Okay, so if you're dating somebody, that's centered on the person that you're dating. Dating is based on expectations for the future, and a date has no expectation for the future. And so tonight we're going to look at God's Word and Song of Solomon, and we're going to see them move out of just a date and into dating. Before we jump in, I want to show you a clip from a movie, and I'm just interested in how many of you have seen this. It's called That Thing You Do. How many of you have seen that or heard of it? Tom Hanks is in it and some others. Okay, some of you have seen this. Basically, it's about this band, and they get really, really big, and the lead singer of the band starts dating this girl, and then at the end, she just kind of tears into him a little bit. Watch this clip, and then we'll dive into Song of Solomon. Watch this.
Now, next. Now, next up for you kids, you get to make another record.
Can I say something? Jimmy. From now on, you stay away from me. I have wasted thousands and thousands of kisses on you. Kisses that I thought were special because of your lips and your smile and all your color and life. I used to think that was the real you when you smiled. But now I know that you don't mean any of it. You just save it for all your songs. Shame on me for kissing you with my eyes closed so tight.
Should have dumped you in Pittsburgh.
So that's how dating ended for them in the movie. And dating will always end in a breakup or a marriage. I don't know if you ever thought about it that way. Dating will always end in either a breakup or marriage. So Song of Solomon tonight, we're going to start in chapter 2, verse 8. This is what she says to him. She says, "Listen, my beloved, behold, he is coming, climbing on the mountains, leaping on the hills. My beloved is like a gazelle or a young stag. Behold, he is standing behind our wall. He is looking through the windows. He's peering through the lattice. My beloved responded and said to me," he says to her, "Arise, my darling, my beautiful one, and come along. For behold, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers have already appeared in the land, the time has arrived for pruning the vines, and the voice of the turtle dove has been heard in our land. The fig tree has ripened its figs, and the vines in blossom have given forth their fragrance. Arise, my darling, my beautiful one, and come along." He continues to say to her, he says, "Oh, my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the secret place of the steep pathway. Let me see your form. Let me hear your voice. From your voice is sweet, and your form is lovely. Catch the foxes for us, the little foxes that are ruining the vineyards, while our vineyards are in blossom. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He pastures his flock among the lilies until the cool of the day when the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved, and be like a gazelle or a young stag on the mountains of Bethair. We'll give that a shot. Chapter 3, verse 1, she's having a dream, and she says, on my bed, night after night, I sought him whom my soul loves. I sought him but did not find him. I must arise now and go about the city in the streets and in the squares. I must seek him whom my soul loves. I sought him but did not find him. The watchmen who make their rounds in the city found me, and I said, have you seen him whom my soul loves? Scarcely had I left him when I found him whom my soul loves. I held on to him and would not let him go until I had brought him to my mother's house and into the room of her who conceived me. Whoa. Chapter 3, verse 5, it ends like this. I adjure you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelles or by the hinds of the field, that you will not arouse or awaken my love until she pleases, he says to her. So that's the passage we're going to look at tonight. They're dating, and this is also a time, this can be looked at as a time of engagement, because right after this, if you keep reading, they get married. And then right after they get married, it moves into the honeymoon night. And so that's why we're stopping right where we're stopping tonight. And this really tonight is a tool for you to use for the future and for you to hold on to these notes to use as a guide. And I want you to know that next week we're going to end this series in the New Testament. And I'm actually going to give away next week for whoever brings the most friends to close out this series. I'm going to give away free Chick-fil-A for a year for whoever brings the most friends next week to end this series, okay? So next week is kind of like, now what? Like, you've given us all this instruction for what we're supposed to do in the future, now what? And so that's what we're going to talk about next week. So whoever brings the most friends next week, and what that's going to look like is, it's got to be somebody that hasn't been, we'll just say, in 2 months, okay? So they can't have been in the last 2 months. And when you get here next Sunday, just fill out an info card on them. And however many friends you bring, just bring me all the cards. We'll count them up. Whoever brings the most friends next week, free Chick-fil-A for a year. I'll explain more about that next week, okay? So next week, we're going to end this. Tonight is all about your future and how you are going to find somebody that you want to marry. Because like I said earlier, guys, stop planning how you're going to get all your friends here, okay? Listen up. This is all about how you're going to find the person that you're either going to marry, or you're going to come to a point where you say, you know what, you're probably not the person I should marry. And this is how it begins. Dating involves deeper communication, if you want to write that down. Dating involves deeper communication. If you look in chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, she says, listen, my beloved, behold, he's coming, climbing on the mountains. See, this is poetry. She is comparing him to a deer, okay, or a gazelle. And he says, behold, he's standing behind our wall. He's looking through the windows. He's peering through the lattice. Now, I should probably explain that. This does not mean that he's like a peeping Tom, okay? This does not mean that, like, Solomon is, like, sneaking around and looking through the window. He's not throwing rocks at her window. This is poetry, okay? It also doesn't mean that he's like a real deer, okay? So remember that this is symbolism, and that she is talking about her soul. And he is trying to get to know her soul, and he is running towards her relationally, and he is communicating with her, and she's saying, my beloved, the one who I love, is coming to me, and he wants to get to know everything in me. He is staring into my soul. So dating involves deeper communication. He's passionate about getting to know this woman. And let me just give you a few things. When you're in a relationship that you think could end in marriage, and it's not going to happen anytime soon, I promise you, unless your parents are okay with you dropping out of high school, getting married, and having kids, then maybe, you know, you could think about it. But this is what you're going to look for, okay? Deeper communication, and you want to be able to communicate your future hopes and dreams. Future hopes and dreams. If you just want to write that down, future hopes and dreams, you want to be able to say to somebody, hey, tell me what's going on inside of you. What do you want to do in your future? What does it look like? What are you excited about? What are you passionate about? What are you thinking you want to pour your entire life into? When I met my wife and we started getting more serious and it moved from dates to dating, and I said, this is a girl that I could see myself marrying. I said, hey, what do you think about marrying somebody that's going to be in full-time ministry, that is going to work with junior high and high school students? How do you feel about that? Because guess what? People in ministry, you know, if she wanted to marry somebody that was going to make millions and millions and millions of dollars, she's probably marrying the wrong person, right? Unless you know some people in ministry that make millions and millions of dollars. We don't make a ton, and so I just want to make sure that she was okay with marrying somebody that was going to be constantly pouring his life into people just like you. And I said, that is what I'm passionate about. And it just so happened that she was passionate about the same thing. We both worked at Kanakuk. She worked there for 3 summers. I worked there for 2. And we both loved sports, students, ministry, all that stuff. And we were both passionate. We both had the same dreams. Now it looks a little bit different because we have 2 kids. And so my wife is more involved in that at home. But she still leads a small group of senior girls. She's here tonight. And she loves ministry. So I had to communicate that to her. It would not have worked well if I would have said to her, hey, I know that your dad is really, really wealthy, and I know that you probably want the same thing, but how does ministry sound? Like, is that okay? I know that a lot of you come from really, really wealthy families, and ladies, if you want that same life, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. That's great. You just need to make sure you communicate that to the person you're going to marry. Because if they don't provide that for you, you're going to end up feeling frustrated and like, what in the world? This isn't what I signed up for. So that's why communication is so important. And in the Bible, I mean, the reason you don't see this specifically in this text, like in the Bible, there weren't like thousands and thousands of different jobs you could do, right? I mean, it wasn't like Solomon's going to say to her, oh, I want to be a farmer or I want to be a carpenter. And all of a sudden she's like, no, that's not what I wanted. Like there was only a few different things you could do back then, okay? But that's why that's really important now, because there are so many different ways your life can go and you need to communicate that. What are your hopes and dreams? What are you passionate about? The next thing you should communicate about is your expectations. What do you expect? Okay, because there's a lot of ladies in this room that expect to marry a guy that is not just going to leave his socks, his underwear, his shorts, his t-shirt on the floor every time he gets dressed. Okay, I have that problem. I'll just be really honest with you. I tend to leave my socks, everything on the floor. And my wife didn't really expect to marry somebody who can be a slob from time to time. Okay, just being totally honest. Now, something she didn't expect too was that I've been doing laundry since the age of 12. My mom like said, okay, you're 12. I'm not doing your laundry anymore. Do it yourself. And so that was kind of a curveball to her. She was like, whoa, I don't have to do all the laundry. This is great. But we never communicated that. We never communicated any kind of expectations we had, like little things. And that's why it's so important for you as you find somebody that you start dating to say, hey, tell me what you're like. You need to study that person. You need to get to know them. You need to find out, ladies, you need to find out if the guy that you want to marry someday is just a lazy bum, okay? You need to find out if he's going to work hard at his job. You need to tell him that you expect him to get a job and keep it. You need to discuss those things. You need to communicate those things, okay? Now watch this. Not only do you need to communicate about hopes and dreams and have expectations, you need to be careful not to communicate too much. Not too much, not too soon. Okay? Write that down. Not too much, not too soon. Let me give you a great example of maybe something you want to kind of put the brakes on. if you start dating somebody and you love Jesus and they love Jesus, you're going to be tempted to pray together and to read the Bible together. And let me just say this, prayer is one of the most incredible and powerful things you can do, right? I mean, you're talking to the creator of the universe. And so I would just recommend not doing this. Like if you find a girl you want to marry, guys, and you say, hey, let's go on a spiritual retreat, just the two of us. Let's go camp out and we'll pray for like 24 hours straight. We're not going to sleep. We're just going to pray and sing hymns and songs together. Let's just go out and worship. Let's do it. I just want us to get closer to Jesus. Okay? Remember, you could be setting yourself up for failure. Okay? Even the best intentions for you to grow together spiritually, if you want to go and have an all-night prayer meeting somewhere, prayer can become incredibly passionate, okay? And so here's a great example of this. When I was in college, Holly and I were dating, and we went to this event called One Day, put on by this organization called Passion, and basically thousands and thousands and thousands of college students came to this little farm in Tennessee to worship for one day. And Holly went with her girls, and I went with my guy buddies, and I ran into her at this farm, and I said, hey, do you guys want to sit with us? And we're getting ready to jump into this incredible day of all we're doing is singing and hearing people talk about God's word. And she's saying, no, you know what, I think I'm just going to hang with my girls today. And I'm like, what in the world? And I look back at that, and I'm like, if she and I would have just prayed together and worshiped together all day, I mean, that was an incredibly emotional day. I mean, it was just filled with worship, and we could have gotten caught up in that moment, and we could have got, like, at that point, we were thinking we might get married, but we could have that day said, oh my gosh, God was so good to us this day. I mean, let's just go get married right now. I mean, let's drop everything else and go serve God together. We're worshiping it like this is an incredible moment. Let's stop everything and just get married. I mean, it was a huge day. She said, no, you know what? I want to experience this with my girlfriends. And looking back, that was a great thing for her to do, to say, no, not too much, not too soon. Not too much, not too soon. And guys, you don't want to get so glued to a girl. If you're in college or, you know, you're still dating after college and you're trying to find that person that you want to marry, I would really recommend, just get this, not too much, not too soon. Don't leave all your guy friends and just glue yourself to one girl. Okay? You can still have great communication and deepen that communication, but don't forget about the guys that God has put in your life. And ladies, don't forget about the girls that God has put in your life to strengthen you, to encourage you, to bring you closer to Him. You don't want to forget those people. And at the same time, you want to make sure that you deepen communication with the person. And let's just be honest. Like I said earlier, dating is either going to end in a breakup or in marriage. And so if you come to a point where you say, hey, we need to break up, do it well. There is absolutely nothing wrong with breaking up. If you're going to break up, do it really well. I dated a girl right out of high school. This is a little embarrassing, but her name was Emily Harris, and she actually went to Baylor, and I think some of our leaders might know her. But this is the one relationship, like out of all my relationships that I totally messed up and made incredibly poor choices, this is one that I actually got right. And I never laid a finger on her, and I really treated her with respect, and I thought everything was going good. And then she went off to Kanakuk the month after I did, and she read the book I Kissed Dating Goodbye with every girl in her cabin. And she wrote me a letter from camp saying, I'm reading this book, and I'm like, I get the letter, and I'm like, she's going to come back, and she's going to break up with me. And so she comes back, and she tells me basically, she said, I feel like God is calling us to break up. And I'm like, I don't feel like God's calling us to break up. Like, you read that stupid book, and all your girls convinced you to break up with me. That's what happened. And so I would just say, you know, it really wasn't exactly like that, but I would just say be really wise about the way you break up with somebody. And if you look at somebody and you're like, that's just not the person for me, just be completely honest with them and tell them in a really, really good way that they're not the person for you. Okay, and just be honest about it. There's nothing wrong with breaking up, because every relationship is going to end up that way unless you marry the person. So deepen communication, and then dating involves consistency over time. Consistency over time. Dating involves consistency over time. Look at verse 10. It says, "My beloved responded and said to me, 'Arise, my darling, my beautiful one, and come along. For behold, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers have already appeared in the land. The time has arrived for pruning.'" What time is it? What season is this? The winter is past. It's springtime. Solomon's saying, we've been through seasons together, and I still love you. We have pruned things. And later on, Solomon says, catch the foxes for us, the little foxes that are ruining the vineyards in verse 15. Catch the foxes for us. The little foxes that are ruining the vineyards. And what you need is consistency over time. Solomon and his girl were able to, over a period of time, work through conflict resolution. That's what verse 15 is talking about. The little foxes that are ruining the vineyards. What's eating into our relationships that we need to talk about? What is jacking with our relationship? And if you can work through those things over a period of time, that is going to mean that you will be able to work through issues later on. I mean, just think about this. Think about this. If you're a year into dating with somebody, and you're thinking you could ask this person, guys, any day to marry you, but you fight every day. I mean, for the last year, you have fought almost every day with this person. And you want to marry him? You're going to fight with that person for the next 30 or 40 years if you make it that long. Solomon's talking about consistency over a period of time. A lot of you know, or maybe you yourself, have been in a relationship that is constantly going up and down and up and down and up and down and up and down. And you've seen these relationships happen. They are roller coasters. There's been no consistency. And so many people like that are so afraid of being alone that they say, okay, I love fighting with this person, so I'm going to get married to him. I mean, that's basically what people are saying, that are always consistently up and down, up and down, up and down. And they say, I like that fighting with them so much, I'm going to marry him. And some of you have seen your friends, and maybe you've done it yourself, and you've gone through a relationship where it is just constant fighting. You need consistency over a period of time. You need somebody that will work through issues, that will work through conflict, and say, regardless of whatever we're fighting over, I love you. I am more interested in you and serving you than my own agenda. That's what you need. You need consistency over time. And let me just say this. On the back of your card, I left you a ton of space on the back. And that's for you to go home and write down traits that you want to develop in your own life. And these are things that you want to see in the person that you're going to marry someday. And what you want to have happen in your life is you want to see those traits happen consistently. And at the top of that list should be what we talked about 2 weeks ago, and that's what? Character. If you don't see character happening consistently in somebody's life, run. So that's just something for you to have. Write down a list of things you need to have carved out in your life, and then things you want to see in the other person's life. Now, I'm going to do a really quick illustration. I need a guy and a girl just to jump up here real quick. Don't worry, you're not going to get embarrassed or anything. Let's do Becca and, what's your name? Blake, just kidding. Come on up. Okay, Becca and Blake. And Becca, I'm going to have you stand on the chair. Okay? You don't want to stand on the chair? Oh, okay. Okay, now Blake, you're going to stand next to her. And now let's say that Becca and Blake are dating, okay? They're in a dating relationship. And so we are hoping for consistency in this relationship, right? The problem is that Becca loves Jesus just a little bit more, okay? And Blake is struggling spiritually. Blake often is more interested in himself, and Becca is running to Jesus way faster than Blake, okay? And so what ends up happening is, over a period of time, there's no consistency, and they're holding hands. Go ahead, hold hands. Now, is it easier, let me ask you this question, is it easier for Becca to pull Blake up, or is it easier for Blake to pull Becca down? Now, obviously, it's easier for Blake to pull Becca down, but in a relationship, thank you guys, in a relationship, it is going to be way easier for you to get pulled down and there to be no consistency if the two people in the relationship aren't equally loving Jesus, aren't equally running towards him. If one person in the relationship has an agenda and says, I want this to be about me instead of Jesus, there's not going to be any consistency. So that's why it's important to take that list on the back and start praying for things that you want to see in the person that you marry someday. And you want to start praying for those things. More importantly, for you to have those same characteristics and those traits worked out in your own life. Don't miss this tonight, y'all. Do not miss the importance. Don't miss the importance of finding somebody who can be consistent over a period of time. Do not make the mistake of being in a relationship for a long time, and so it only makes sense to get married, even in the midst of somebody that just loves to stir up conflict and to stir up fighting. Don't make excuses and just say, okay, I'm just going to marry this person. It seems like the right thing to do. We've been together for a long time. I'm sure we'll be able to be together forever. But it doesn't make sense. And I just want every one of you to be encouraged tonight to really look for consistency over a period of time. I can't tell you how many people have made the mistake of jumping into a relationship and jumped into marriage when they shouldn't have. One of my best friends from college dated a girl all of college that would never stop yelling at him, would never stop just getting onto him for the smallest things. And it got to the end of college, and basically they came to a place where they didn't know what to do right after college, so they decided to get married. And every one of the guys in his life said, that is a huge mistake. She is contentious. She is going to drive you nuts if you marry this girl. He said, you know what? We've been together for 4 years. We'll be fine. And nobody's perfect. Don't make that argument. Don't make that excuse of nobody's perfect. Everybody has their faults. That's true. Nobody's perfect. But you don't want to live your entire life with somebody that's going to drive you crazy. That's why you need consistency over a period of time. This is the last thing you need. Dating develops commitment. Dating develops commitment. Dating develops commitment. Verses 16 and 17, she says about him, she says, my beloved is mine and I am his. I am committed. And she says, he pastures his flock among the lilies until the cool of the day when the shadows flee away. Turn, my beloved, and be like a gazelle or a young stag on the mountains of Bethair. See, it involves consistency over time. It involves deeper communication, and dating develops commitment. Guys, it involves being able to say, she is mine and I am hers. Girls, it involves saying, he is mine and I am going to live my life devoted to this person. I am never going to leave. I'm never going to walk away. I'm going to be with this person forever. So it involves being committed. My wife and I, after we started dating, we said, hey, let's make sure that this is going to work. Earlier, I told you about asking my wife, I said, hey, do you really want to marry me? I'm going to be in student ministry. There are a lot of hours put into it. We put a lot of emotion into what we do. And I said, hey, let's try it for a summer together. And so we went and worked at a church as interns, and we were junior high interns at this church in Memphis, Tennessee. called Germantown Baptist. Our boss is actually the head youth pastor now at Prestonwood Baptist, just up the road. And Chris Lovell is who our boss was. And so Chris Lovell, your basketball coach, was our boss, and he let us be junior high interns for him. This was like 8 years ago, okay? And Holly and I were junior high interns, and we got to serve together every day in ministry. And it was a blast. I mean, it was the most amazing summer that I've spent in ministry because I said, you know what? I could do this with this girl forever. She loves Jesus. She loves kids. And over a period of not just months, but years, I saw consistency in her life. And I finally said, I am committed to pursuing more than a dating relationship, but a marriage with this girl. But that's commitment. You want to make sure that you can be totally committed to one person. And so our last year in college, my last year in college, she ran track at the university we went to, and she would get done with practice, she'd run home and change clothes, and we would just go to the library and study, or we'd go goof off. We were always in public. We were always with some friends. We dated and dated and dated and dated, and we just committed ourselves to each other. I asked her to marry me. Oh, really funny quick story here. I asked her dad if I could marry Holly, and he said, I would love it if you married her. I just hope she says yes to you. And I was like, what in the world? Like, what does that mean? But just kind of a funny moment. And I played 18 holes of golf with him and asked him finally on the 18th hole, hey, can I marry your daughter? It's the longest 4 hours of my life. And he said, sure. I just hope she says yes. I was like, what in the world? She said yes. But dating develops your commitment. Dating develops commitment. And remember how committed the guy was last week. This is how I want to close. Remember how committed he was to her and her purity last week when basically in chapter 1 and chapter 2, she comes on to him. And he says to her, no, do not arouse and do not awaken your love like that. And he has to do it again in chapter 3. She says in verse 4, until I'd brought him to my mother's house and into the room of her who conceived me. Remember what I said last week? She's getting excited. She does it again, and again the guy says, I am committed to purity until we get married. And he says that you will not arouse or awaken my love until she pleases. And he says it very emphatically, very passionately. He says, I am going to be committed to this relationship and to this relationship pleasing God. Guys and girls, when you find yourself in that relationship, when you find yourself in that relationship where you think that person could be the one that you spend the rest of your life with, if they are not committed to the most important parts about your life and about your relationship with God, you need to run. Because if they're not interested in the most important parts of your life now, do you think they're going to be really committed to you and to who you are in Christ in the future? Probably not. You need somebody that is developing a commitment to you. She says, I am his and he is mine. Remember earlier in this entire love song, she says about him, his banner over me is love. I mean, they are committed. She is saying, I know that he loves me. And when people waved banners back then, the banners that people waved were usually in armies, and there would be a banner over where the general was. And that's where you knew where the leader of the army was. And it would have the name of your country or your city or wherever you were coming from. And she's saying that his banner over me is love. The thing that he declares over me is that he loves me. He is committed to me. And that's the kind of person that you should be looking for. Somebody that's committed somebody that's consistent, and somebody that is passionate about communicating with you. So I hope that blesses you. I hope that's an encouragement to you. And then next week, if you want a little preview for next week, we're going to be in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And let's just do this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I'm going to give you the passage. Verses 3 through 8. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 3 through 8. And let's do this. I just thought of this off the top of my head. If somebody can break that text down and bring it to me next week, just on a little note card or a piece of paper, if you can break that text down in 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 through 8, and you can kind of show me how it breaks down, my wife and I will take you to lunch, and you can ask us any question you want about dating and relationships or anything like that, okay? So, and we'll buy your lunch or your dinner, okay? So 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 through 8, if you don't want to ask us about anything like that, you don't have to, but that'll be just a way to bless you. So 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 through 8, study that, break it down, and that is going to be, next week is going to be, now what? What do I do today? How can I honor the person that I'm going to marry someday now? How can I do that presently? And also, whoever brings the most friends next week is going to get what? Free Chick-fil-A for a year, and I'll explain more about that next week. Let me pray for you, and then I'll give you a couple announcements, and then y'all can leave. Let me pray. Father, thanks so much for every one of these students. Thanks for how good you are to us. I pray that that they would leave tonight encouraged and just a little more aware of what you want for our lives. Lord, thanks for how much you love us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hey, a couple quick announcements. I know I went over, and you'll have to forgive me for that. A couple quick announcements. Camp Barnabas, listen up. Camp Barnabas, we have got a meeting Sunday, May 5th. I think that's a Sunday before